I believe we can take about 10 minutes for questions, and then we'll leave a few minutes for you to stretch and to get ready for our next speaker. Yes, Pastor Eckert.
Yes, I really, really like this topic. And it occurs to me that another thing that's going on at the same time as we debate the filioque is that if you're going to say the filioque, and if you, like we as Lutherans here, need to have it all rooted in Scripture, if you're going to confess the filioque, you are going to have to reject implicitly the notion that the intended sense is one. Would you agree?
The last time you were at the microphone, no response was needed. I'm not so sure one is needed now.
Yes.
Yes, Rick Suckwish, Dr. Scare was kind enough to mention.
Rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven.
I just, first a comment and then a comment question. You mentioned that you weren't sure whether the feminists were aware of the ad opera ad extra distinction, and there are at least some that are. A Roman Catholic feminist, Catherine Lacuna, has this past year published a book from Harper and Row, God for Us. And the first several hundred pages trace the history of the development of the doctrine of the Trinity, including some rather obscure figures. And the whole focus of her book is on the distinction between the economic and the immanent Trinity. And just to prove your point in your paper, her whole argument basically is that we need to return to the economic descriptions of the Trinity, that the immanent definitions so forth at Nicaea were perhaps appropriate for the time, but were problematic in later developments. And essentially the point being that we really can't say a whole lot about what God is in himself. And thus the fatherhood of God, the sonship of God, these things are basically up for grabs. And at least within Roman Catholic circles in this country, her book has had quite an influence. So the second comment, since you mentioned me in conjunction with the Epiclesis, and I didn't get to talk to you about it beforehand, well, the Epiclesis certainly does have historical precedent and perhaps does have a good place within the Eucharistic liturgy. I think it's important to notice that at least in ecumenical dialogues, where the Epiclesis has become very popular, and at least within some Roman Catholic circles in this country, I'm not sure what the Epiclesis might say about their pneumatology, but I think it certainly does reveal a deficient Christology. One that you hinted at in your book, which is now available through CPH, I noticed. Rejoice that your name is written. But you mentioned in that book that the flesh of Christ or the humanity of Christ in traditional Roman Catholic theology is accorded only the same worship, and I forget which word is appropriate, but only the same worship that is accorded to Mary. And I have noticed in several of the readings that I've done at Notre Dame that this distinction does have practical consequences in some of their theology, and at least among some circles of Roman Catholics, I would question their Chalcedonian and Nicene orthodoxy on this point. And where this comes to play in the Epiclesis is that essentially, without the Spirit, you don't have body of blood of Christ, you don't have presence of Christ, and it seems to me that the filioque is almost reversed, so that the Son proceeds from the Father, the Son proceeds from the Spirit in a practical sort of sense, akin to the idea that the miracles of Jesus, for instance, are not performed by virtue of his own divinity, but by virtue of the anointing of the Spirit.
I wish you'd stop now. I don't see any difference between the Christology that you indicated and that of Calvin. And also, there is in Calvinism, the miracles are not attributed to the divinity. I mean, we in Lutherans insist that they be attributed to the humanity of Jesus. Not to the divinity, but the divinity working definitely through the humanity. You brought up this question of the Trinity, so what he is in himself and what he does. And certainly, Luther's catechism, small catechism, in defining the doctrine of the Trinity is not completely serviceable because it tends towards a division of the works of the Trinity whereby the Father does something and the Son and the Spirit. And very little thought, it goes on about what God is in himself. So it's very popular in our circles to speak about how God reveals himself. Now you may have remembered the debate that was in the pages of Lutheran Forum and Logia with myself and Leonard Klein over this particular question. And Leonard Klein and those who are associated with him are content to speak about God being revealed as Trinity, especially in the Bible, which I find simply to be a form of fundamentalism, of raw fundamentalism, because it never gets behind, is there a God behind the God who reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And I would say that even in our own circles, by saying that Christ has redeemed me, he has created me, he has sanctified me, by the intonation that we put it on the last word, me, we are on the way to having a very subjective Christianity, never getting to the point of whether God can be enjoyed in and of him, in and of himself. So you remember a point you brought up, Mr. Stuck, which none of which I remember.
I think, by the way, Rick, we can find you a small honorarium for your contribution. I presume you were here first. I couldn't see you over here.
Yes,
from
I
here.
Was trying to blend into the woodwork there.
If we don't occupy too much time, I think we can accommodate both of you, but that's about it. So, please.
Perhaps you already said this, Dr. Scare, but I don't remember everything that you said either. But your comment on the catechism, I guess I'll make an observation. It seems to me that even the outline of the catechism with the prominent terms above the work of the Father as creation, above the Son as redemption, above the Holy Spirit as sanctification, might lead to some of what you were warning about in terms of the way that God has revealed himself and what the significance is in terms of who he is and how. You made the point in your paper that that the Trinity is involved in every aspect of our salvation. You may want to follow up on that to clear any water that I have muddied.
It might help if we didn't no longer spoke about the Father as Creator, the Son as the Redeemer, and the Spirit and the Sanctifier.
Mm-hmm.
The Father is Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, so is the Son, and so is the Spirit. And I have an idea that some people are very uncomfortable with the idea that the works of the Holy Trinity outside of himself are one work. So that it is almost sent in a Calvinistic way that the Son proceeds from heaven in such a way that he actually is deserted by the Father and the Spirit. And the mm-hmm. Father goes up, and the Son goes up to heaven, and the Spirit takes his turn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. One follow-up.
If it is going to be said, it is the Father and the Spirit offer, there has to be some meaning in Matthew's Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Even if what I have to say doesn't get out through CPH. To which I can thank a few friends.
That's all right. Years ago we used to say, can anything good come out of...
There has to be some meaning to the fact in Matthew's Gospel that the Spirit conceives Jesus in chapter 1, that the Spirit is given to Jesus in his baptism, and most significantly, it is by the Spirit that he is driven in order to combat Satan, which does not only refer to the temptations in the wilderness, but as Paul Brecher said many, many years ago, that those temptations describe the entire life of Jesus, including his death. I have an idea, our Trinitarian theology
is that three actors come out of the stage in an almost dispensationalist point of view. But now it's my turn. And as long as we have that point of view, we're going to have spirit-like fanaticism. Because we're in the age of the spirit.
I know what you're talking about. I think you've put your finger on it. One further item of practical nature, and that is we often will address prayers, public prayers, to the Father or to the Lord Jesus. The Father in Jesus' name is often used as a tag, I think perhaps without us realizing what all the significance of that is. But to the Lord Jesus, I wonder if prayers that begin addressed to the Holy Spirit would be, how could they be phrased within the context of everything that's been talked about this afternoon in a manner that will,
I understand what you're saying,
be theologically correct and practically.
Well, I would have to go with what Father Kavanaugh said yesterday. The worst thing we can do with our liturgy or hymns is give them to the doctrinal censors. And so I will not look for what is theologically correct. But we of the Eastern Church begin the Divine Liturgy with an invocation of the Spirit. And the wording of the prayers, I think I would rather leave to those who are engaged in the history of the Church to look at this situation rather than to answer from a theological point of view.
I think if we don't... Is there time? If we don't, Terry, please go ahead. Pastor.
Okay, it's a related question, and that's the issue of, on your title, it says, worshipped, adored with the Father and the Son. Is there idolatry committed if the Spirit is worshipped apart from the Father and the Son? And I'm particularly thinking of, in the case of the Charismatics, where they only invoke the Spirit, and in the case of the Evangelicals in America, which glorified the experience of the Spirit. Would you please comment?
Well, I think you're right. I'll speak to my own personal problem. A week ago, I was using the LBW. I won't tell you what denomination that was, Mr. Noland. And we sang a hymn, I don't know what number it was, that the Spirit would move us. I don't know whether I should offend against the hospitality of the congregation by not singing or offend against Trinitarianism by singing it. But there is in those type of circles certainly an idolatry where one person, you have an idolatry of the first among Unitarians in worshiping the Father. So I think what you say is self-evidently true. Thank you very much.